في مقامي هذا. I repent to you in this situation of mine, in this station that I am in. The repentance of those who are truly, truly remorseful over what they have done. Let's take a break and come back.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana.
All right, respected listeners to IRIB English Radio, the program Bridge is here, and we are focusing on the 12th dua of Sahifa Sajjadiya. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is continuing on. He says, "Atubu ilayka fi maqami hadha." I repent to you in this station of mine, or in this situation that I am in, the repentance of one, and then he describes the condition of a right tawbah, a right repentance, an accepted one. Repentance of one remorseful over what proceeded from him hastily, apprehensive of what has gathered around him. Nadimin ala ma farata min. He's truly remorseful. He truly regrets what he has done in the past. Mushfiqan mimma ijtama alay. Apprehensive of what has gathered around him. Wa khalis al haya'a mimma waqa'a fi. Pure in shame, pure in modesty for what that into which he has fallen. Alaman, knowing that بَأَنَّ الْعَفْوَ عَنِ الذَّنْبِ الْعَذِيمِ لَا يَتَعَذَمُكَ. Pardoning great sins is nothing great for you. You are great. In fact, you are the greatest. Forgiving my great sins is not going to decay anything from you, O Allah, O Almighty. One of the conditions, or one of those very beautiful skills that true mu'mineen have, is that they know if they want to be forgiven, they have to forgive. If you forgive other people, then you get closer to the forgiveness or being forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't have hatred of the other mu'mineen. You can't have the hatred and animosity of other believers, family members, good community members, those who are not enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are not oppressing or opposing the cause of the Rasulullah, yet expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. Purify the heart first. That's where everything starts. That's where everything initiates. Let's take a break to come back, inshallah, to listen to a beautiful hadith.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
All Alright, respected listeners to IRIB English Radio, Imam Ali alayhi salam, in a beautiful hadith says, Al-afwu tajul makarim. Al-afwu tajul makarim. Forgiveness. Forgetting and forgiving together. Al-af. Af means not only you forgive, but also you forget. It's as if it never happened. Oh, I don't remember. I don't remember what she did to me. I don't remember what he has done to me. I don't remember. I can't recall. Al-afwu tajul makarim. Af, which is a combination of forgetting and forgiving, is the highest, the best, on the top of all the good attitudes or good etiquettes of a human being. And another one in a beautiful hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he said to Abdullah ibn Jundab, he said, "Wa'fu amman zalamak," forgive and forget upon those who have oppressed you. Forget them. Forget about their actions and forgive them. The same way, كَمَا أَنَّكَ تُحَبُّ أَنْ يُعْفَى عَنْكَ, the same way you would want to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَتَبِرْ بَعَفْوِ اللَّهِ عَنْكَ, learn lessons from the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. Imagine a society in which people were forgiving each other easily. Many of the fights, many of the arguments, many of the disconnections of family ties and social ties would all have been healed, and you would have lived in a much more peaceful world. Inshallah, by habituating ourselves with forgiving others, we make our lives more beautiful. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mahdi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را, هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را,
یا سجاد.
In the limelight.
Only through Shia Sunni unity and unity in the axis of resistance can Palestine be free from the river to the sea. And the day is not far when they will pray together at Al-Aqsa Mosque. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV wrote, this year's International Quds Day saw millions of people across the Islamic Republic of Iran pour into the streets to reaffirm their unwavering support and solidarity for the people of Palestine. Emotions were high as people rallied to condemn the Zionist regime's genocidal war against Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip, which has already claimed the lives of more than 33,000 people. Amid the hustle and bustle of the annual rally in Tehran, two familiar faces wore the cynosure of all eyes as they walked together to mark the day that was instituted by Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Revolution, more than four decades ago. They demonstrated in action what the great revolutionary leader strongly advocated: unity against the common enemies, the American hegemony and the Zionist apartheid. The sight of Abu Fadak, the chief of staff of Iraq's Popular Mobilization Forces, PMF, and the leader of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Ziad al-Nakhale, marching side by side in Tehran, strongly reflected the reality of how far the legacy of late Imam Khomeini has reached. That too on International Quds Day and in the Iranian capital, where it all began in 1979. The rare public appearance of Abu Fadak, a highly respected Iraqi Shia military strategist, and al-Nakhale, a prominent Palestinian Sunni resistance leader, sent a powerful message to enemies. Islamic Republic of Iran, with its predominantly Shia population, has withstood a myriad of economic hardships, crippling sanctions, and acts of terrorism and sabotage for its pivotal role in supporting Palestine, with its predominantly Sunni population against Zionist American plots. One of the plots has been to divide Sunni and Shia Muslims in a bid to consign the issue of Palestine and the occupation of Islam's third holiest site in occupied Al-Quds into oblivion. However, owing to the wisdom and bravery of the Iranian nation led by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, all such nefarious plots have been nipped into the bud. These failed plots have been for years evident in countries such as Syria, Iraq, and Yemen, but more importantly in Palestine, where the axis of resistance with its Sunni and Shia members have together been fighting the Israeli-American war against Palestinians. Abu Fadak and Nakhale are both designated as terrorists by the terrorist regime in Washington. Their crime has been advocating armed resistance against Zionist terrorism and colonialism. Abu Fadak led the PMF following the U.S. assassination of its former leader, Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes, alongside Iran's top anti-terror commander, General Qasem Soleimani, outside the Baghdad International Airport on January 3, 2020. The predominantly Shia PMF, presented by all the religious and ethnic groups in Iraq, played an instrumental role in defeating the West-backed Daesh terrorist group in Iraq. The predominantly Sunni PIJ is a powerful resistance movement in the blockaded Gaza Strip, which together with Hamas has forced the Israeli regime and its military to eat humble pie. The leaders of the two resistance groups walking shoulder to shoulder on the streets of Tehran for the same cause is a clear representation of Sunni-Shia unity. When taking into account how the beliefs and principles of these two men strongly match those of the late Imam Khomeini, this awe-inspiring demonstration of unity in the axis of resistance from Palestine to Iraq, from Shia to Sunni, united against the common enemy, the axis of genocide, was a statement in itself. This unity in letter and spirit is what will pave the way for the victory of the oppressed against the oppressor. It is an image that has given shudders to the US, the Anglo-American Zionist apologies. Those who have openly betrayed the Palestinian cause, such as the Al Khalifa monarchy ruling over the oppressed people of Bahrain, will be shaken by the sight of two resistance linchpins together. This united stance, which is growing stronger by the day as a result of the genocidal war on Gaza, spells the beginning of the end for those aiding the Zionist occupation. The irony is that the US and the UK in particular, who declare themselves as the leaders of the free world and democracy, share close ties with the Al Khalifa regime and ilk. While more than 16,000 Palestinian children have been martyred in the past 6 months, thousands have been rendered hopeless, and many more are starving. State TV in Bahrain has had rolling coverage on everything except Gaza. The slaughter of Palestinians has no news value for them. Real-life heroes such as Abu Fadak and Nakhale have seen their popularity grow over the past 6 months as they have refused to cow down against the occupying regime. On the other hand, those Muslim Arab leaders who betrayed the people of Gaza during their hour of need will soon be forgotten and consigned to the bins of history books. Abu Fadak and Nakhale earned their freedom after years of struggle and resistance. They represent a growing number of like-minded people of resistance who have mutual respect for each other. The leader of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has repeatedly emphasized the need for mutual respect between the Shia and Sunni and their leaders as the key to foiling foreign plots, freeing Palestine from occupation, and ushering in regional peace and security. The Secretary General of Lebanon's Hezbollah Resistance Movement, predominantly Shia but includes Sunni members also, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah has followed suit by supporting the people of Gaza. This support stretches back decades before Hezbollah's latest operations in the aftermath of Operation Al-Aqsa Storm and the genocidal Zionist war on Gaza. It is not surprising that the Palestinians in Gaza, who are 99% Sunni, have regularly praised the axis of resistance, a growing Shia-Sunni axis, and on top of them, the Islamic Republic of Iran, after defeating the Israeli occupation forces in numerous wars over the past two decades. Only through this Shia-Sunni unity and unity in the axis of resistance can Palestine be free, from the river to the sea. And the day is not far when they will pray together at Al-Aqsa Mosque.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, reciting the Holy Quran as an integral part of our Islamic lifestyle. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, such an honor to be here at your service, A to Z. So we're talking about Islamic lifestyle. Now, of course, one of the things that is really important part of our Islamic lifestyle is this recitation of the Holy Quran. And so, you know, as we continue to move farther and farther away from the holy month of Ramadan, we should be able to continue the things that we had started in the holy month of Ramadan throughout the rest of our Islamic lifestyle. So, of course, reciting the Holy Quran was something which was regularly done in that month. And so now, you know, in the month of Shawwal, and of course, you know, these few first days, if you will, that we are born again, our sins, inshallah, have been forgiven, we are pure, we are clean. And so it is in this kind of a situation that we need to make sure we continue this Ramadan lifestyle, this Islamic lifestyle. You know, and the farther we get away from the holy month of Ramadan, the more we're going to start to kind of lose certain small pieces as we move forward, right? So reciting the Holy Quran, it was something that we were doing on a regular basis. And this is what's really important, is to be able to continue that recitation of the Holy Quran. You know, one of the things that we felt in the holy month of Ramadan was how reciting the Holy Quran has this purifying effect. And so, you know, now that we are moving on and, you know, the different problems and aspects and difficulties and challenges that life has and that we are faced with in our life, we really need this purity and this spirituality. And this is one of the ways in which we can attain that purity and spirituality and really continue to keep us pure as we move forward. And that is the recitation of the word of Allah, the Holy Quran. Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about reciting the Holy Quran as an integral part of our Islamic lifestyle. You know, we were reciting the Holy Quran in the holy month of Ramadan. And so, you know, we kind of, that begs the question is, why can't we do it now that we are past the holy month of Ramadan, right? One of the things is that we need to kind of, you know, schedule and manage our time in a manner where at a specific time we want to allot for the recitation of the Holy Quran, right? You know, we talked about in the previous segment how reciting the Holy Quran itself is a type of purifier, just merely reciting it. But of course, merely reciting it is not the end goal, right? We should read the translation, we should try to understand the Arabic, we should kind of contemplate for a minute or two, at the least, about the verse that we have written. So perhaps maybe every day at a specific time, inshallah, we want to spend, you know, like 4 minutes or 5 minutes to recite, at least one verse of the Holy Quran and start to make it an integral part of our Islamic lifestyle that we are continuing, right, from our Ramadan lifestyle. And inshallah, this recitation of the Holy Quran is going to definitely bring barakah and blessings from the Almighty Allah, and it will eventually become a very integral part of our Islamic lifestyle.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
The world is silent towards oppression, even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
The last us a Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah, you are our true guide.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
We're waiting for you to be my son.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program, The Last Savior. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have a special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Oman, Islamic researcher, Brother Alavi. Assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, Brother Ali Alavian, let's continue our discussion regarding the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi during a holy month of Ramadan with a heavenly call or sayha. Somehow you elaborated on this topic in our previous discussion, but let's continue this one. That is it true that by a heavenly call or sayha during the holy month of Ramadan and on a Friday, the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi Jalallah will start?
Yes, we have been talking about the connection between the heavenly call or sayha and the holy month of Ramadan before the advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, the holy month of Ramadan of the year of reappearance and advent of Imam, let's say exactly or accurately. And what happens and what is going to be said in that sayha and heavenly call. Still, we have some points to mention again here about this sayha. In the last year of the occultation of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, some strange events will occur. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam told Abu Basir, O Abu Basir, O Abu Muhammad, shortly before the uprising of Imam Al-Qa'im, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, five signs will definitely appear. A heavenly call that will be heard in the month of Ramadan. The rise of Sufyani, the rise of Khurasani, the killing of the pure soul or Nafs al-Zakiyya, and the sinking into the ground of Sufyani's army in the land of Bayda. The land of Bayda refers to a desert area between Mecca and Medina.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful that Imam Baqir alayhi salam has stated that in the middle of the holy month of Ramadan, a Friday night, Imam says between Friday night of the middle of the holy month of Ramadan and the 23rd of the holy month of Ramadan, the voice of Jibreel would be heard by the people. And in that voice, Jibreel will name Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and his father's name. And after that, there would be another voice. The second voice would be the voice of Shaitan or Satan. We need to take firm of the first voice. Imam alayhi salam says that the people will be tested by these two important voices. The first voice is the voice of Haqq, the truth, and the second would be the voice of Batil. Again, as we said earlier in our previous show about this heavenly call or sayha, the Holy Prophet says that in the middle of the holy month of Ramadan, which would be a Friday night, two voices will be heard. The first voice would be the voice of Jibreel, and the second voice would be the voice of Shaitan. It's interesting that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that the heavenly call or sayha that will echo before the advent will be on Friday Eve, the 23rd night of the month of Ramadan. It is narrated that when Sufyani rises up, 30,000 people from the Kalb tribe will pledge allegiance to him in the month of Ramadan. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, the signs occurring in the month of Ramadan are a mark in the sky, after which severe disputes will arise among people. Most probably the signs in the sky that Imam refers to here would be eclipses that happen on that month or on that year before the advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
All right, Brother Ali Alivian, let's take a break, and after a break we'll continue our discussion, inshallah.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. Mm-mm. I need a hero to start
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. You are listening to the rest of another episode of the program, The Last Savior. All right, Brother Alavian, one important question is about the ways to gain knowledge about Imam al-Mahdi Ajalallah. What are the best ways if somebody is interested in gaining more knowledge about Imam al-Mahdi Ajalallah?
Well, to understand Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, peace be upon him, and his personal characteristics, as well as the nature of his occultation and appearance, there is no better tool than the noble verses of the Holy Quran and the traditions of the infallibles. Peace be upon them all. Although more than 1,000 books and treatises have been written on this subject, relying on these verses and traditions, it can still be confidently stated that only a small portion of the knowledge related to this ultimate divine treasure has been elucidated. This is just because the existential dimensions of his being, as has been stated about Imam Ali alayhi salam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful, cannot be fully known by anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet. And not everyone can correctly understand the words of Allah and the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Furthermore, the nature of the cultation period is such that it cannot be certain that all their statements have reached us. Nevertheless, what is contained in the books is like taking drops from an infinite ocean, as it has been said. If one cannot draw the entire sea, one must at least taste to quench thirst. One of the ways that we can refer to for gaining some knowledge about Imam alayhi salam is Al-Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And second is the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. And the third is hikmah, or wisdom, that or from the men of wisdom, from hukama, or from the philosophers who have made some statements in this regard. So let's refer to these points, or these three dimensions that we just talked about. So before discussing these three principles in recognizing and gaining knowledge about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, it is essential to mention an introduction. The issue of Mahdism or Mahdawiyya, in addition to being a confirmed religious and Islamic matter, has almost been a common subject among many communities and nations of the past, and has been awaited by humanity. Now, just like to introduce some ways to recognize Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and to gain some knowledge about him. As I said, one of these three principles, or three important dimensions, is the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran is the manifestation of Allah's essence revealed to the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some verses of the Holy Quran are apparent in the issue of Mahdism and examine the end and future of the world, while other verses have been interpreted in the light of traditions. As an example, let's refer to two verses of the Holy Quran. The first one that we want to mention is in the chapter of Al-Anbiya, in the chapter Anbiya, or Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 105. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And we have already written in the book of Psalms, after the previous reminder that the earth will be inherited by my righteous servants." وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضِ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. My righteous servants will inherit the earth. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, in interpretation of this holy verse, has been saying, "These worthy servants who will inherit the earth are Imam Mahdi and his companions in the end times," that has been narrated by Tabarsi in Majma'ul Bayan and others in different books of hadith and narration. مهديون في الأزمان شع ضياءه ربنا في العالمين أضفع له نور أليق والظالم ابتده من أجل السالكين أهدى سنه مهديون في الأزمان شع ضياءه ربنا في العالمين أضفع له نور أليق والظالم ابتده
منهج للسالك أهدى سنه.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. You are listening to the rest of another episode of the program, The Last Savior. Brother Alevian, can you please name an authentic reference, whether Shia or Sunni one, about the ayahs and the verses of the Holy Quran that talked about Imam al-Mahdi and the ways to gain more knowledge about him?
Tamarsi is a famous scholar, also interpreter of the Holy Quran. His famous book, Majma' al-Bayan, is known by all the men of hadith and narration. The next verse that we want to refer to that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, again, this important event that will happen, is in the chapter Nur, that is Surah An-Nur, verse 56. Allah has promised those among you who believe and do righteous deeds that He will surely make them successors in the earth, as He made those before them successors, and that He will surely establish for them their religion, which is preferred for them, and that He will surely give them in exchange, after their fear, security. That is, they shall worship Me, not associating anything with Me, and whoever is ungrateful after this, those are the transgressors. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. You see, Allah here promises, وَلِيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ, as I recited the translation, Allah will appoint them as the successors. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guarantees the religion, their security, and they need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, after reciting this noble verse of Quran in Surah An-Nur, as he stated, these are from our Shias, our followers. Allah will accomplish this through a man from our family. That man is Mahdi of the Ummah. Again, it has been narrated in Majma' al-Bayan of the famous scholar Tabarsi. The next principle that we said that we can find some information or gain some knowledge about Mahdi alayhi, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, is the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, or tradition, or let's say conduct of Ahlul Bayt. Extensive narrations from Shia Hadith or the school of Ahlul Bayt, the sources of Hadith and narration from the school of Ahlul Bayt, such as the famous book of Kamal al-Din, Al-Ghayba of Shaykh Tusi, and Al-Ghayba of Nu'mani, yes. So Usul al-Kafi by Thiqat al-Islam Kulayni, and etc., have addressed the issue of Mahdism and introduced its discussions in the Hadith books of even Sunni brothers and Sunni Muslims as well. Numerous prophetic narrations regarding the issue of Mahdism have been mentioned. So let's refer to some of these ahadith. We can find some information and gain some knowledge about Mahdi, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, in either ways, through Al-Quran and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet and the words of wisdom and the words of men of wisdom, that is, through the words of Hukama. Yes. So, inshallah, in the sources from the Sunnah, we refer to some of the hadith from both schools of thought in Islamic denominations, from Shia and Sunnis, and the narrations that they actually talk about the concept of Mahdism there.
Thank you very much, Brother Ali Alevian, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Last Savior. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all, and fiyam anil.
Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring? Where is the shining moon? Where is the furnace glow? Please, oh please, please come. Please, oh, oh, oh. Please come.
in the limelight.
A U.S. federal judge overseeing Donald Trump's prosecution on charges of retaining classified documents has denied his efforts to have the case dismissed on the contention that the Presidential Records Act allowed him to transform them as personal property and possess them at his Mar-a-Lago club. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. Donald Trump faced mounting trouble recently in his legal universe, with judges overseeing two of Trump's legal cases refusing to accept his attempts to delay and toss the prosecution, and the former president doubling down on efforts to discredit his opponents. The judge overseeing Donald Trump's criminal trial in New York expanded a gag order recently, which had originally banned Donald Trump from making public statements about court staff, trial witnesses, or the families of any counsel or staff member on the case. The narrower gag order did not prohibit Donald Trump from making statements about family members of the judge, and after Judge Juan Merchan issued it, the former president took to social media to attack the judge's daughter. Identifying her by name, Donald Trump on the social media platform Truth Social wrote, "His daughter is a rabid Trump hater." The new gag order would now prevent him from making statements like that, but Trump's abusive commentary about her and others involved with this trial has probably already prompted threats and harassment. In a court filing revealed recently, Donald Trump also motioned for Judge Juan Merchan to recuse himself from the case, alleging his daughter's consulting work for Democratic clients was a conflict of interest. Donald Trump's lawyers in the court filing wrote, "It can no longer be ignored that Authentic's commercial interests are benefiting by developments in this case. This is the second time that Donald Trump has attempted to oust the judge over his daughter's work. Last year, an ethics panel reviewed a similar argument by Trump's legal team, but found Judge Juan Merchan's daughter and her firm did not pose a conflict of interest." Judge Juan Merchan denied on 3rd of April Trump's last-minute attempt to delay the trial until the Supreme Court rules on the presidential immunity claims that arising out of a separate case. The trial over Trump's efforts to suppress a scandal ahead of the 2016 presidential election by falsifying business records to conceal hush money payments to a film actress is set to begin on 15th of April. It will be the first ever criminal trial of a former U.S. president. Meanwhile, the U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon rejected Trump's attempt to throw out the case charging he mishandled and illegally retained classified documents. Donald Trump had argued he was entitled to retain the documents under the Presidential Records Act. But Judge Eileen Cannon rejected this bid to toss the case on grounds the charges make no reference to the Presidential Records Act, nor do they rely on the statute for purposes of stating an offense. Her finding nonetheless leaves open the possibility for Trump to use the theory that he had legitimacy retaining the documents under the Presidential Records Act, setting her on a collision course with the Department of Justice's special counsel, Jack Smith, who has called the Presidential Records Act theory a fundamentally flawed legal premise, and said he would appeal to a higher court if the judge recognizes the theory. Judge Eileen Cannon has slow-walked the case over Trump's illegal retention of classified documents, which FBI agents uncovered at Mar-a-Lago in August of 2022. Prosecutors hope to begin the trial in July. But Judge Eileen Cannon has not yet set a trial date, allowing Donald Trump to postpone filing pretrial motions required for it to commence. That's a win for Trump, who has sought to delay his numerous prosecutions ahead of the 2024 presidential election. The American newspaper The Washington Post has also covered the same story and tells us more. The U.S. federal judge overseeing Donald Trump's prosecution on charges of retaining classified documents has denied his effort to have the case dismissed on the contention that the Presidential Records Act allowed him to transform them as personal property and possess them at his Mar-a-Lago club. The ruling by U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon was significant as it struck one of Trump's main defenses and suggested the case is headed to trial. Judge Eileen Cannon's 3-page order rejecting Donald Trump's motion to dismiss rested on the fact that Trump's argument about the Presidential Records Act did not directly address the applicability of the Espionage Act, which he has been charged with violating, meaning it did not give her a basis to toss the case. But the order left open the possibility that Donald Trump could raise his Presidential Records Act theory as a defense at a trial, and the possibility that Judge Eileen Cannon could instruct the jury to credit Trump's theory in such a beneficial manner that it could potentially ensure Trump's acquittal. The way the jury might be directed has become a major source of anxiety for prosecutors in the Office of Special Counsel Jack Smith, after a judge last month ordered both sides to draft jury instructions envisioning two possibilities that gave extraordinary credit to Trump's defenses. Judge Eileen Cannon has asked Trump and prosecutors to each draft jury instructions, supposing it was true that Donald Trump had the power under the Presidential Records Act to turn any White House document into personal records, which would implicitly mean he was authorized to retain them. The authorization issue is key to the case because Donald Trump was indicted for unlawfully retaining national security materials under the Espionage Act. If Trump could show that he was somehow authorized to keep the documents at his home in Mar-a-Lago, it would preclude his prosecution. Even more crucial is if Judge Eileen Cannon actually uses such instructions at trial, because if that happens after the jury is sworn in, double jeopardy protections for Trump would kick in. If Trump is then acquitted, prosecutors would not be allowed to retry the case. The first scenario envisioned that it was up to the jury to decide whether prosecutors could show beyond a reasonable doubt that Donald Trump had not designated each classified document he took to Mar-a-Lago as personal. The second scenario envisioned that Donald Trump had the sole authority to turn a document he came across as president into a personal record that he could keep. And the very fact that he took them with him to Mar-a-Lago meant it was a personal record. Prosecutors responded to Judge Eileen Cannon with a sharply worded 24-page filing recently that made clear they thought both scenarios were wrong under law, but indicated they could find a way to work with the first scenario, because proving the classified documents were not personal was feasible. But prosecutors wrote the second scenario was fatal to their case because it allowed Donald Trump to simply claim that all the classified documents seized at Mar-a-Lago were his personal property by virtue of taking them with him, and prosecutors would have no way to dispute that claim.
from east to west. Throughout the vast land of Iran, you're listening to IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
March 12th, 2024. When Almighty God, who is the mind, source, and creator of greatness, endows something with the title of great, as in, and the great Quran, Quran chapter 15, verse 87, the meaning is truly something that is lofty, high, and valuable. This is what you are reciting. The Quran is greater than and surpasses anything else that Almighty God has brought into existence beneath the heavens. The Quran is the great of the two most valuable things left behind by the Prophet, peace be upon him, the other being his progeny. Imagine that I leave among you two valuable reserves. Something that is valuable and precious refers to the Quran. So the Imams of Guidance, peace be upon them, the pure lights that illuminate the universe, come after the Quran. How do we conduct ourselves with regard to the Quran? You, the reciters of the Quran, each and every one of you are bringing God's message from His throne to us on earth. This is what it means to recite the Quran. You convey the content of His words to us.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Each of us who are spiritual, you bring the Quran down upon our hearts. For those of us who are listeners, our ears benefit from listening to the Quran. Know your worth. So, there are a few points to consider. One point is the significance of the recitation of the Quran. Now, the grandeur of the Quran is valuable in itself, and so are the contents of the Quran that contain the most important divine teachings in the world of creation. However, the very act of reciting the Quran is valuable. Almighty God commands the greatest being that He created, that is, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to recite. So recite as much of the Quran as is feasible. It says, so recite as much of it as is feasible. Quran chapter 73, verse 20. You must read the Quran. You must recite it. Recite to them the story of Noah, chapter 10, verse 71. Recite to them the story of Abraham, chapter 26, verse 69. God commands the Prophet to recite. So, one of our duties is to recite the Quran.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pourreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
South Korea's progressives extended their majority in the National Assembly in an election largely seen as a repudiation of conservative President Yoon Suk-yeol and his People Power Party. Democratic Party leader Lee Jae-myung promised to work for the greater good.
The ruling and opposition parties must work together to solve livelihood problems. We will spearhead the efforts to overcome the livelihood crisis. I once again express deep gratitude to the South Korean people.
Many South Koreans feel President Yoon has been overstepping his powers with a series of missteps and controversial measures, including the failure to resolve an ongoing doctor's strike.
There were too many cases where this government pushed through policies that made no sense, as if it were a dictatorship.
While the vote revolved around Yoon and the economy, with problems such as a lack of affordable housing and increasing polarization, Yoon's foreign policy latitude will also be curtailed.
This is really bad news for President Yoon. He's going to have an extremely hard time getting anything through the National Assembly. And what's more, it may jeopardize some of his great relations that he's formed with the U.S. and Japan during his presidency.
A new progressive party launched by Cho Guk, a former justice minister, won 12 seats in the assembly, further tipping the scales against President Yoon and his People Power Party.
The two-thirds majority enjoyed by progressives in the assembly will enable them to fast-track legislation and push their liberal agenda. Meanwhile, President Yoon's pro-business reforms stand little chance of becoming law, with Yoon something of a lame duck for the final 3 years of his five-year term. Frank Smith, Seoul.
Eid, but no Eid. Marking the end of the holy month of Ramadan with the same rituals, but definitely not the same festive mood. Iranians observing Eid al-Fitr by taking part in mass prayers as always. Nonetheless, this year, the ongoing genocidal war in Gaza on their minds, and sharing videos of Gaza on an occasion that is one of the most important holidays on the Islamic calendar.
We will always support our brothers and sisters in Palestine. The Zionists should know that they are not alone. All it takes is a word from our leader and we will be ready to fight.
I hope that our presence today sends a strong message that we will always back Palestine.
The Zionists are not human. How can they commit such atrocities while the whole world is watching? The pictures coming out of Gaza and the situation there are shocking.
We will always support the Palestinians. We always have. And today I brought my two daughters as a message to the mothers in Gaza that we will always be there for them no matter what.
This also became the main theme of the leader's Eid al-Fitr address, as he strongly criticized Islamic governments that have not cut ties with and support the Zionist regime.
Eid al-Fitr is supposed to be a happy occasion, but this year Iranians are not happy because of the ongoing genocidal war in Gaza. Yusuf Shahmadi, Tehran.
Italy's Foreign Minister Antonio Tajani has released a new statement following Sunday's drone attack on Russian-held Zaporizhzhia power plant in eastern Ukraine. Tajani said the risk of creating a new Chernobyl must be averted and that a free zone around the nuclear plant must be immediately declared. He also advised against fighting in the vicinity of the nuclear plant. A few days ago, during a celebration for the 75th NATO anniversary, Tajani